Good morning. So we are in, today, we're not in John. I figured the ladies are all gone and some of them want to hear the series and they want to be here. So we're going to jump into Hebrews today for, I guess you could say it's a topic, a topical message. The title is, You Already Have Enough Faith. And we're in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. So you can find your way. Normally we pick up where we left off in John, but it's not the law, it's just what we do. And today, I thought, you know, God's been working on my heart about faith, so let me look into it in my own studies for myself. I thought I would share some things with you guys. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. One thing that's true is that we all operate by a certain measure of faith. We do it all of the time. Faith is not some strange thing out there that only Christians have, and only it's a weird thing. You know, you guys have faith as a crutch. You know, we all operate on a certain measure of faith. When you sit down at that restaurant and you just put the food in your mouth, you do so by faith. You trust that it's not going to kill you, that they didn't use some unknown meat source or whatever it is. You do it because of the reputation. You've seen customers come and go. You trust that if the words had come from there that they're serving poison, you don't go. You know, when a certain restaurant says, hey, they've been using this salad and this lettuce, and you kind of stay away from them for a while. They're making bad decisions. But we go into a restaurant and we operate by faith. We eat. Oh, how about cashing a check? If anything's done by faith, it's cashing a check. Because that's just a piece of paper with a signature on it. And yet, some will celebrate like they have the cash already. When they get that check, they get a check, maybe an IRS check. Yes, oh, the Lord is so good. All you got is a piece of paper with a signature on it. But you operate by faith. So we have the capacity to do this, to live by faith, to operate by faith. Faith is more than just believing something. I believe the IRS is going to send me my check. I believe it, but it's not here. And so I may waver, I may hope, when's it going to get here? It's more than just believing. It's putting full assurance in something without the fear of that thing letting you down. You live like it's going to take place, like it's going to happen. So not only does it affect your psyche, it affects your activity, what you do. When my son was a baby, I remember playing a little game. He didn't have a choice in the matter, but I would throw him up, and at first it's fun, but then I got on my knees. I said, we need a little more height, and so I got on my knees, and then as a competitive kind of a person, a sporting type, I said, how close can I get to the ceiling with him without hitting his head? And I was doing really good, and Josh was doing great. Man, he loved it. It didn't matter if I threw him outward, inward, a little bit with a side, you know, anything. I could do anything, and he was totally fine. He had faith, man. And so, until the one time I got a little closer, you know, yeah, we got those popcorn ceilings, and so, you know, boom. And it wasn't just barely, I hit him decent enough to some popcorn stuck in his little head and came off the ceiling. And he looked at me different than he ever had before. He had this confused, like, is this a concussion? I don't know if this is fun anymore. So I thought, you know, you got a man up here, so let's try this again. I won't throw you as high. So I went to throw him and he went. Now no one taught him that. It was an instinct. He was all of a sudden afraid because something happened to him that hurt him. And he was afraid. The faith that he could so easily and naturally walk by before was destroyed by, well, sin. Dad's competitive nature. And then I had to earn that trust again. Well, let me tell you something about God. God doesn't drop us and he doesn't hit our heads in the ceiling. But we live in a sinful world. We've all said it before. I trust God. It's the people I don't trust. The problem is this. God's working on us and in us and through us in a sinful world. And he's using the things that happen even in this world. And so really, to trust God, we've got to trust him despite and even through the sinful people. That's the challenge. Do you really trust God is greater? Do you really trust God is stronger? Do you really trust that God is able despite them? They're holding me back. They're holding me back. But do you trust that God is in control? Are you doing everything you need to do? Because if they are holding you back, well, the scripture tells us that God's the one who raises up and puts down. God's the one who puts the governing authorities. Maybe they're not holding you back. Maybe God is. So we got to learn to trust the Lord by faith the way he wants us to. He doesn't drop us. He doesn't hit our heads in the ceiling. It's been said that biblical faith is betting your life on Christ. Everything. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." That's important. Without wavering. "For he who promised is faithful." And this faith is not something that we produce ourselves, by the way. You don't have to muster up faith. You don't muster it up. No, it's a gift. It's something that God gives us and we just respond to it, exceeding our fear. We have to put more faith in him than the fear that we have, that we face. See, faith, we don't really need a whole lot of faith to just go out and walk to my car. We operate by some measure of it, but I don't have to put a lot of faith. But there are times when I'm afraid, and God is still saying, walk, walk this way. And I have to walk in the faith that I have, that God has given me, rather than the fear that I have. Now, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." We don't create, we don't generate, we don't muster faith. It's something God has given us. And as mankind, that's something different than the animals. So you can't boast in your great faith. It's all a gift. All we really do is respond to the faith and exercise the faith that God has given us. When I came forward to receive Christ, I had the capacity to do it. God had been speaking to my heart. God had been working on my heart. God had put in there the ability to get up and walk forward and go, "Lord, I hear you. Now I'm going to make a public declaration." But though he gave me everything I needed to make a public declaration, guess what happened? I didn't do it. Was it because I didn't have the faith yet? No, he had given me the faith. But something got in the way. Do you know what that something is? Sin. Here's the thought I had. I thought, I know I should. I know I could. But I don't think I can, because I don't think I can stop everything right now. There was an understanding that sin, the things I was choosing to do, I still wanted to do those things. There was something in my will that said, I know I should, I know I could, but at this time, I want to hold on to these things. And so I didn't. Now, that whole week was miserable for me, because it was the first time I actually realized I rejected the Lord. I say I love him. I have love for him in my heart. I long for him. But I don't love him as much as I love me and what I want. It was the first time I realized I got to make a choice about this. I have to let go in order to embrace. God had already given me the faith, but my sin had gotten in the way. Sin, not a lack of faith. Sin, not inability, but unwillingness is what gets in the way. And that's why, in the end, we will all be held accountable before the Lord. Well, none of us will be able to stand before the Lord and say, well, you didn't give me the faith. I only didn't respond. You didn't give me faith. He's given us everything that we need. What we do with it. I mean, think about the supplies and things that we have in this world. I knew someone. He used to smoke marijuana. Wasn't a Christian. But he would say, well, God gave it to us. Not to roll it up and smoke it. Yes, he gave us these things. But to do good things, the right things with them, not the wrong things. Don't just say, well, God gave it to me. Like, God gave you a brain. That's another one. God gave you a brain. Use it. Well, I want to use it to, you know, make sense, reason, make good decisions. However, there are times where my brain is a stumbling block. My past experiences keep me from trusting in the Lord. Or my reasoning goes, that doesn't make any sense. And so it can get in the way instead of show me or lead me in the way. And so I must walk by faith. Sin gets in the way. And since Scripture says without faith it is impossible to please God, I think it's a good idea that we do examine the essence and effect of faith in our lives. And so verse 1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So first, the essence of faith. The essence of faith. It says here, the first part says, it's the substance of things hoped for. Right? The substance of things hoped for. The word substance means solid foundation, assurance. It's the thing that holds things up. There's substance there that can be built upon. So look at faith as the foundation. Okay? Faith is the foundation. What are you stepping on? What are you standing on? What are you hanging yourself on? What are you building upon? Faith. It's what we put our faith in. Faith establishes the foundation of what we look forward to and what we build our lives on. That's what faith is. Jesus said, I came that you may know the truth. Right? So we have to put our faith in his words. Build our life on what he had said. This is why truth is so important. Because faith is only as good as the object that it's placed in. I can put faith in the lottery. And some hit it, but most of those who don't know Christ say that it messes up their lives. People come in their lives, they spend the money frivolously, and it makes a mess of things. So money doesn't help. It's not the answer. Truth is what we need, and we're to build our life on. Once we have been assured of something, say the truth of God's word, then that truth, that thing that we receive and receive by faith, we start to build our lives on. We adjust our life because of it, and we build our life upon that thing, whatever it is, or that person. And it changes the way that we live, and it changes the way that we react. Again, Jesus said, I came that you may know the truth. You've got to build on something. I remember watching, Texas and USC just played this past weekend. But I remember watching the championship game, one of the best championship games ever. And in, you know, you're biting your nails. Oh, no, what's going to happen? Oh, this is the last play. This is it. This is it. You get one play, and it's over. And I know the results and what happened. And I'll just go ahead and say it. Texas won. I just want to put that out there so that we're clear on that. But let me tell you this. As tense and exhausting as that was to watch, I've watched highlights and clips since then, but you know what? I'm not as afraid. I'm not as fearful. I'm not as concerned. I'm not as worried. Do you know why? I already know how it ends. So faith, when we really put our faith in the Lord, we take His word and we go, oh, you're talking about tomorrow and how you're going to care for me and eternal life. Well, that means I don't have to worry about it. And by faith, we go, He's got tomorrow covered. When things don't go perfectly, He's got me covered. And no matter what happens to me, He's got my eternity covered. I don't have to worry. Now, if you don't know His word, then maybe you do worry a little bit. You need to read it to gain the promises of God, to hear them. So when we really put our faith in the Lord, we don't worry about tomorrow. We live for today, because today may be all we have. Scripture says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough in it. Live for today. Live today properly. Yes, you can save. Yes, you can store up. Yes, you can do that. But listen, even when you store up, it's because today God has placed that in your heart. It's not because of your wisdom. It's because of God's preparation. It was Joseph who was used by God to tell Potiphar how to store up. It was given by God, told, here's the wisdom. Here's the wisdom. Apply it. And so they began to apply because God gave the wisdom today, this day. If God hasn't said store up, then don't worry about it. I need a retirement. God's got that covered. But don't worry about it today. Has God started talking about it today? No, I'm just worried about it. Well, stop it. What has God told you today? What I'd be worried about is not doing what God wants you to do today, because if you don't do that today, you are going to be a mess tomorrow or the next week or the next 5 years. So do what God has told you today and don't worry about the rest. Now, guys, what do you do with the promises of God in the scriptures? What do you do with them? Well, I underline them. Oh, I highlight them with different colors. I think that's great. But are they the sure foundation for your life, even when things look contrary? Are they the sure foundation that keep you from having to worry about whether you're taken care of and what your future holds? So faith is the substance, the foundation, the assurance of things hoped for. Second, it says it's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. This is a parallel phrase, actually. It's kind of poetic in its statement. It says basically the same thing, but it adds more to the idea. A man of faith not only has a solid assurance, a foundation, but he acts upon that assurance by building on it. He builds something on that which he believes. He builds on it. I've told the story before about the guy who was upon the great buildings in a city like New York, walking across with a wheelbarrow across a tightrope and walking back and forth. He did it backwards and forward and any which way you can to show, hey, I can do this. And he got to one side where crowds had drawn on top of the building and asked them, so do you guys believe that I can walk across this with a wheelbarrow? I mean, he had everything. He put weights in it, sandbags, stone, everything. Nothing happened. He was fine. And so they all, when he asked about believing, said, yeah, we believe. We believe you can. Then he said, how many of you will show the evidence that you believe by getting in by faith? And do you think it was as many as who said, I believe? No, because my life is at stake. I believe. But walking by faith is challenging. The only way to increase our faith is to trust Him by faith. It's faith that inspires greater faith and more faith. If you never walk by faith, you're going to remain immature. Unable. But God wants to grow our faith. You know, there was in the Old Testament an example of faith with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew teenagers, basically, very young men. And they were told, they were given a choice, bow down before the golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar had erected or die. And those were the choices that they had. And listen to their response, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I like that. We have no choice. We shouldn't have to say what we're going to choose, Nebuchadnezzar. You should know. Verse 17, if that is the case, our God, if those are our choices, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That's evidence. Do you believe? I believe. Where's the evidence? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had evidence that they were building upon what they said was their faith. So that's the essence of faith. One, it assures us. It's a foundation for our life. Two, it moves us. We're building on it. This is why James said in James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He's challenging the person who says, I believe. He's like, Satan believes in that sense. Where's your faith? Because he said, can such a faith save someone? The believe, yeah, I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. Well, then get in. Oh, no, I'm not going to get in. He says, can that kind of faith save someone? No. Real faith can. Putting your faith in him and then building on him. With the wood he provides. With the stuff that he provides. His way. So, that's the essence. Look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now let's look at the effect of faith. Verse 2 simply says, those who walk by faith ahead of us, the elders, those who've gone before, those who walk by faith ahead of us left us a good witness, a good testimony, something we could look at and go, well, it's been done before. People have walked by faith. People have endured persecution. And they left us a good testimony. When we live by faith, it affects our relationship with God, and it impacts the lives of those who are watching. Walking by faith affects our relationship with God. Just coming here and going, I love the music. Oh, just doing that doesn't affect your relationship with God. It gets you emotional. But it doesn't affect your proximity, your relationship with the Lord. You know what does? Walking by faith. Scripture says God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey. So, first let's look at our relationship with God. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the effect of faith, one, is that we please God. We have his approval in what we're doing. I love being on God's side in something. Oh, it's so helpful. It gives you such a sense of confidence. There's no better feeling than that. There's no more secure feeling than that. You know what? You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to be insecure in a role that God has placed you in. You don't have to be insecure in a relationship that comes from the Lord. Now, if that relationship isn't from the Lord, then yeah, maybe you need to be insecure. Maybe they're not going to be faithful. Maybe they're not in God's hands. Maybe you got yourself in a mess. And so insecurity is just a natural part of sinful choices. But when you are where God wants you to be, you don't have to have insecurity at all. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. We can be fully confident where we are, doing what God has us doing. Walking by faith enables us to endure trials, the discomforts that come because we realize that, man, at least God is with me. If everyone else leaves, I know one thing. God, you're with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 and 36. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were living for life beyond. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. And there are more listed. That's the Hebrews Hall of Faith there. The payoff now for living by faith is the knowledge that God is pleased with us. That He is with us. That's more important than anything. To try to accomplish things in life and be able to do it by your own means, you can get it done. You can do a lot of great things, especially if you follow some biblical principles in life. But, man, you're going to wreck a lot of things in the process. You're going to neglect a lot of people. You're going to overlook. You're going to step over people. You're going to do certain things because God's not giving it to you. But what a feeling it is when God has given us something. God has given us that relationship, that role, that responsibility, whatever it is. No one else and whatever anyone else says doesn't matter. All that matters is the Lord. And then because we trust in Him, the effect of faith is that He is on our side. I'm satisfied. I have peace, meaning, and direction. And I don't need the approval of everyone else. I can be secure. So our relationship with God is affected because of faith. Walking by faith. We're in the right places, doing the right things. Second, besides our relationship with God, is the effect that faith has on others. Because the life of faith is an adventure. If you walk by faith at all, you know that. It's like, well, I wouldn't normally do this. I would just like to chill out and watch some TV, and that's it, you know, just chill. But God wants me to take a step. He wants me to make a call and encourage someone. I don't know how to talk to people. I mean, it could be anything. And the Lord stirs our heart, and there we are, walking, doing by faith. It's an adventure. It's not boring. It's not sitting on the couch going, I need some me time. And guess what? Others are watching you. They're watching you. What do you do? What does it mean to live by faith? And how do you react? How do you respond? I got to make this call. I'm going to call someone. Man, people just have problems and I'm going to have to call this person. So I'll be there for the show in a little bit. Oh, that's a good witness. That's a good witness. Yeah, those kids are going to want to grow up and walk by faith. Oh, in fact, they're just really going to want to be involved in the church. If you ask the average person what they want out of life, they'd say, I just want to be happy. And different things make different people happy. It's an honest answer. You know, some love adventure, adrenaline rush. I just want to go out there. I don't want to have a job. I want to be out there. I can do the adventurous things or whatever it is. Want a lot of money, whatever it might be. Something makes an individual happy. But though that's an honest answer, I just want to be happy. People who want to be happy are trying to find happiness in all the wrong places, in all the wrong things. They think those things will make them happy, but they don't. The pursuit of those things distracts them for a while, so they think they're okay, but they're not. Ask families. Families who don't work on their marriage while they have kids, find one day that those kids leave, and all they did was focus on the kids, focus on the kids, focus on the kids, focus on the kids, and one day they find they were so distracted by the kids, they didn't work with each other, they didn't work on each other, and they go, I don't know if I like you. I don't like all this time with you. It's sad, but it happens so often. The kids are not the focus. The kids are a byproduct. There are little disciples. In fact, that our next study, when we get back to John, we're going to talk about that, discipling, how important that is. So, they're our ministry, but they're not our world. We're teaching them what their world should be about. We're leading. We're going, we're following the Lord, we're putting Him first, we're putting things in order, we're walking by faith, we're doing it without grumbling and complaining because we got eyes upon us. And we're teaching them. So, people look for this in this happiness in the wrong places. They go down roads that make sense to them. This, I think this will make me happy. I think this will make us complete. I think we need this. They go down every road but the road of faith and trust in God, and they end up unfulfilled because they've never experienced what God's filling does. If you've ever experienced the pleasure of God in your heart, you go, I don't need anything else. People can wave my, oh, you can make a lot of money. I don't need it. And if I can have what I have right now with the Lord, I don't need anything else. And then we're called to share that with the world. A psychologist once wrote, 1/3 of all of my cases are suffering from no clinically definable neurosis, but from the senselessness and emptiness of their own lives. They're searching, they're searching, they're trying to find meaning, they're trying to seem valuable to somebody. Will somebody love me? Will somebody admire me? They're looking, they're looking, they're looking, but they're looking in the wrong places. Those who live by faith find satisfaction that shines a light on the lost and starving world. They're looking. In fact, we're not lost or meandering in this life. We are dedicated. We're headed in a direction. And we are learning it more and more as we go. God is pulling us apart more and more from the world and getting our eyes on those things that are eternal. Let's look at verse 3. So that's the essence and evidence of faith. We do different things because we have faith. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now I want to give you a surprise example of faith. We look at the creation, right? We look around and we have this idea about how all this started. We weren't there. We don't know. There's no way we can answer it. We weren't there. And so we don't know where it all began. Maybe that's why God didn't create Adam and Eve with the ability to write. Because then all we would do is we would just dialogue and diary and not have any faith. And so what had to happen over those years is storytelling. They had to tell each other what happened, what happened, what happened. Until eventually communication began to develop. Because we knew we needed it. It just wasn't me and my wife in the garden anymore. And so the cool thing about Adam and Eve is that Adam lived so long before the flood, before we developed our future and present ways of communication and notation, Adam was actually alive to be able to tell his stories firsthand all the way up until pretty close to the flood. It was firsthand information about God and what happened. And so they didn't have to go, tell us the stories about Grandpa Adam way back then. For the most part, they could always go to Grandpa Adam and ask him about it. Why do we wear these things on our body, these clothes? Well, let me tell you the story, young man. And so the notation and everything, we begin to notate and we begin to operate and we continue to operate by faith. How did the world begin? Webster's wasn't there. Britannica, encyclopedia, they weren't there. So there's an element of faith that everyone has, and everyone has it. Whether someone believes in evolution, that's by faith too. They say it's science, but they're wrong. It's not good science, because there's also science that disproves what they say they believe in. So they don't accept everything, just those things that prove what they believe. We can believe in the Lord. And I think an example here of those who can walk by faith are us. Because we all choose, I mean mankind, we all choose to formulate an idea about how this all began and what the meaning of life is. We do it by faith. I hear it from unsaved people. I think my purpose here is to inspire people. Okay, let me take the question a little further. Your purpose. Who gave you the purpose? Why do you feel a sense of purpose? Because if we evolved, there is no purpose. Just random stuff. Fit to survive, live, and then die. If there's evolution, there is no need for law. There is, you know, just get what you can out of life. But there is a sense of law. There's a sense of justice in us. Scripture says God has set eternity in our hearts. There's a sense of right and wrong. That's why Adam hid. No one ever told Adam, all right, now if you violate the Lord, I sure would stay away. No, Adam just knew this is not right. This is not good. He knew. Kids, no, you don't teach them. If you lie, you should hide from me. No, they just know the first time, I don't want to be in trouble, so I'm going to lie. They know. So we operate by faith. We are an example that faith is something that we must operate by. And where we put our faith matters. What we place our faith in, or in the case of the Word of God, who we place our faith in matters, because it affects every single thing that we do. What we are, what we become, what we build. The directions that we go, the choices that we make are all established on top of that which we've put our faith in. Romans 1, 18 through 21 says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now that doesn't sound like a group who has an excuse. Well, God, you never put that in my heart. You never put the faith in there. It's your fault. No. He says, no, you guys had the capacity. You guys could have believed. Everything, every evidence is there. But you chose unwisely. You chose unrighteousness. And as a result, your foolish hearts were darkened. You had a chance, but the choices that we made put a distance between us and God. He says that the worlds were framed. That's more than just they were thrown into existence. It includes the idea of framing. In other words, God set everything in motion and framed the natural laws that exist so that certain things operate a certain way. He framed them. Science, it falls short, because science looks for if and then, over time. So what science really discovers are the natural laws that take place. So science finds these natural laws and goes, okay, here's how things work. We don't need God. Here's how it works. But what they don't understand is God is above those. All right, here's how it works. But we still have to go back to the question, who set that in motion? A random explosion, or God? We still have to go further back. Science is not the right tool for faith to see if God's out there. Science can never disprove God. All science does is shows consistencies in things. That's all science can do. It can never touch the realm of faith. So we are without excuse. When you look at something like a watch or this building, you look at it and we always acknowledge there's a designer, someone made it. That doesn't happen on its own. And yet we'll look at the world. We'll look at the world and we'll go, happened on its own. Their foolish hearts were darkened. A good adjective. You look at your bodies, the way it's designed, how it heals itself. It's amazing. I don't believe we're an accident. My faith is in the Lord. I believe in a God who created us, who loves us, who knows what makes us tick, who knows what I need to be about, who knows what He created me for, and knows what the future holds. And because of that, I can build on that. It's not always what I would have built. It's not always where I would have built. It's not always what I would have done. But there are certain things I'm sure I've built in my life that'll kind of blow away when the storms come. But when I build by faith, when I build on the Lord, those things don't blow away. Sometimes they're all that's left. Walking by faith requires that you recognize that you're accountable to this Creator. Now, that's where the problem is. Right there. See, that's what stumbles most people. Accountability to the Creator. Accountability to God. Sin, we said this earlier, sin separates us from God. Sin blinds us to the truth. Because when I think a certain thing about something, I see it this way. This is the way I see it. This is the way I want to see it. It fits into my lifestyle. It fits into my life plans. And so here's the way I see it. Well, when a new idea comes in, like say the Bible, throw something at me, I had not heard that before. Sin blinds us because we're faced with something. We have to take this information and process and go, does this look like the world? Does this look like? It sure does. So I have evidence here that my conflict with that which has confused me for some time, that I believe. And so now I have a choice to make. And sin does this to us. God wants me to stop doing certain things. I don't want to stop those things. So I don't think that's the right way. I think what I believe is right. And so we hold on to our belief, our philosophy, our thoughts. That's why you'll hear people say things like, I want to go to a church that believes like I believe. Well, that's fine if what you believe is true. But when you hear the Bible contradict you, you better lay down what you believe and embrace what the Bible teaches. There is no church that teaches exactly what you believe. It doesn't happen. Our church here doesn't even teach everything I believe. Let me tell you how that happens. Like, what? That makes no sense. When I study, there's some conclusions that I'll come to. Now, not as many nowadays, but early on, I would come to certain conclusions. I'd go, oh, I want to get this text, and oh, that'd be a great text for this. And I would look at it and go, wait a minute, that text doesn't support that idea. Maybe that idea is not right. And then I'm on a search for my own ideas that I was trying to impose in the text that aren't true. And so I have to adjust also to the text in its context. So we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is a solid assurance that moves us into action. That's the essence of faith. It's that substance, that solid, that thing that we're building upon. I believe this, and so, and the so is the effect. So the essence, the effect, as we walk by faith, we feel His approval, we're fulfilled, we witness to others, we're a witness to others. That's part of the effect. And then the example. Faith is something that we all operate by, even evolutionists. So you're without excuse You can put faith in something. You're your own example. The chair that you sit in now, the check that you made out or is made out in your name, and even the evolutionists can all live by faith. The faith that we need to follow Christ is like a muscle that needs to be developed. We need to exercise it. The only way you exercise it is to walk in the faith that you have set before you now. So I have faith in him, but I have nothing from him, right? So I believe in Jesus. I'm going to put my faith in him. So what does that mean? How do I walk by faith? How does it go from that, believe, to faith? Well, as you read the Word of God, he begins to tell you certain things about your life and how it should be ordered and what your priorities ought to be. And so what you do is you take those things. Oh, he also says things like, take every thought captive. So you start working on those things by faith. To the world, that's weird. Take your thoughts captive. That's weird. They're your thoughts. Use them. That's who you are. And that's what the Bible says too, but it gives us hope. Yeah, that's who you are. We'll fix it. We'll fix it. So he says, take those thoughts captive. And we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago, because those thoughts go into our hearts and they come out of our mouth. So he says, James said, and no one can tame the tongue. So you can't tame the tongue. So let's work around the tongue. Let's not even let it get to the tongue, to our hearts. See, here it won't come to the tongue yet. It's when it comes here. So it comes here because I like that thought. I think that'll do damage. I think that'll get the results I want. And so that's our heart at play, and then we say it. So he says, capture it here. Capture it here. Take the thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and don't let it out of your mouth. Because if you let it get near your tongue, it's coming out. So we do these things by faith. Let's pray.